In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Where you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit and blaze up some Guanamera.
We'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my homeboys.
Big J.
Jill.
And man, we have a really poignant story today, man, a sad story. I don't know how this brother actually maintained his composure the way he did. We have Kevin Hawkins from Michigan City, Indiana, here today. And he has an incredible story. Pretty much, daughter goes out one night, right?
Yeah.
Now, were you aware of where she was going? She told you she was going somewhere else, right?
Yeah, she told me she was going to her pawpaw house. But you know, when you feel somebody lying, I just felt it.
But you didn't really trip on it or act on it, right?
No, I wanted to tell her stop, but I'm just like, going over. I told her, when you get to your papa house, you call me as soon as you get over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
And that call never came, right?
Now, she called the house, but she called her mom and said, "Mom, they over here fighting." I was like, "At papa house?" She was like, I said, "I knew y'all was lying." I said, "You go over there and get her and bring her ass home." So my wife, she go over there. 15 minutes later, she called me. She was like, "Keisha dead." I hung the phone up. Call back, Keisha dead. I hung the phone up and just sat there. Then I got another phone call from one of my boys. He was like, "Frost." I was like, "Come get me." He said, "I'm downstairs."
And so you found out that your daughter had been shot because some guy pulls out a pistol and gets to shooting at a party, house party. Am I correct?
No, it was like those traffic-like party or something they were saying.
Just like pretty much a little gathering where the youth gather that and congregating. Dude pulls out a gun, shoots into the crowd, and kills his daughter.
Yeah, my 13-year-old son was standing right next to her.
and 13-year-old man.
And this is called a traffic light party.
Yeah, it was some stuff that they made up. And like, if you got on red, you with somebody. Yellow, that you might can do something. But green is just you single. Some stuff like that.
Wow.
Just something they're doing. And you know, the whole tragedy in this matter, because Charles Guerin, he received the sentence of 50 years for the 2011. This happened back in 2011. How long did it take for it to come? Because the shooting actually happened. When did the shooting actually happen?
It happened at night.
At night.
Like,
but what year
four days before her birthday, July 24th, 2011. 4 days before her birthday. Mm-hmm. Her birthday, July 28th, she got a casket for her 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm. So, and he didn't get sentenced to 2017, though.
Yeah, on my birthday.
On your birthday. So it takes, I'm not the best mathematician in the world, but I know that from 2011 to 2017, that's entirely too long for justice, the wait for justice to be served.
Well, you're going too far, because initially he got, what, 30 days, 45 days?
Yeah, during the trial, when they first started getting at him and stuff, they tried to give him 30 to 40 days in work release they was talking about. We went to court on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we was downstairs with the DA and all that. They didn't want to do their job. So it's the only thing we can get him is 30 to 40 days in work release. And I told him I wasn't going for that shit.
Had he been identified as the
murderer? Yeah, they identified him. What was that? 30 to 45 minutes after the shooting in 2011. They got it all on tape. A little kid thought he was finna to record a fight when they got to acting up. But he recorded the shoot. And the police had it the whole time. They just ain't like me.
45 days.
What kind of shit is that? How can you even attest to a motherfucker getting 30 to 45 days? Because you don't want to do your job. So you feel like, just fuck it. That's what we got right there. Fuck it.
Exactly. And the thing about it is this. You have proof.
Exactly.
You have someone that has actually videotaped this man committing these acts of carnage on video, and you don't go do nothing. He should have been picked up immediately.
Yeah.
Right.
He should have been picked up immediately. And the whole thing is, you brought the fight to him, though. You wouldn't go allow that to happen.
No. Like, one morning I was asleep, and my phone, it started chiming. By this time, the kids that came up in age. So I'm steady getting chimes on Facebook from people I didn't know. I'm like, what the? I'm looking at the thing, and it's them talking about my daughter's murder. They arguing about it. Like 5 years later. So I get up and go to the police station and took it down there and showed them. They told me they can't do nothing for me. So I said, hey, man, here go the evidence, and y'all been knowing this. They was like, we ain't gonna do nothing for you. So I told them I'm asleep in this police station. So they kicked me out of there. So the next day, I got up. I went back home. The next day, I waited till my wife to go to work. And then I went to the police station and asked again, is y'all gonna help me? They said, no. I said, all right, I got something for you. So I drove back home, got a picture of my daughter, went to the store, got a poster board and wrote Justice for Keisha and Honk Your Horns. And I didn't even know how to do Facebook Live. I just looked on my Facebook, hit live, and it said 3, 2, 1. And I know in the industry, that means action.
Exactly.
So that's what I did. I went live.
And that's what you did. So how long did this fight go on with you in the police department?
What, after that or before that?
After that, from the time you going up to the station, you protesting and everything, how long did that go on?
Oh, they, I think it was before Christmas then, because it was in November when I went live, and before Christmas, they had went and picked them up. But they had came to my house, and I told them, if y'all doing this to shut me up, or y'all playing games, it's really finna be on.
Exactly. Well, what I want to know is, you know, all of us up here are fathers.
Exactly.
We fathers, we all got children. And that's the phone call that you never want to get, that your child that you brought into this world is no longer here because somebody has decided to take upon themselves to end their life. How did you not just go get a pistol and blow everybody's brains out in that city? It had something to do with it.
I tried to. One night I got upset. I found them, and I had got a backpack. I had 300 rounds in there, and I had a gun. And I,
Take your time, man. Take your time. It's all right, brother. Take your time. It's, you know, as fathers, man, this really, like...
It's a situation to where, you know, you want to be a dad, you want to be a parent to your kids, and you want to trust your kids that they'll be safe when you let them go out. Because, like I said, I got a 16-year-old son, plays football. He's out there. I'm trying to give him that talk, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. To where you got to watch your surroundings and the people you be around. Because even though you think motherfuckers might be cool and perfect, you never know in the situations. And you want to give your kids leniency because you don't want to be that, you know, tight grip ass motherfucking parent to where, nah, you can't do this, you can't go nowhere. And then they rebel against you in the end.
Exactly.
But you worry every motherfucking time they step out the motherfucking door. Because I worry when my son just get in the car with motherfuckers. You know, an accident could happen, or, you know, I tell him, watch who you hanging around. Just because you cool with motherfuckers don't mean they cool with you. Watch what you wear around motherfuckers, because you don't know the surroundings. So, again, you know, it's kind of fucked up, because knowing what we did as kids, you want to try to change that pattern, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And you want to try to hold on to your kids and be as tight, but you don't want your kids, like I said, to rebel against you and be all upset. Dad, don't let me do this. Dad, don't let me do that. But it's kind of hard because it's fucked up people out there in the world. You know what I'm saying? Well, you can't protect them from everything.
Kids don't listen, man. They always trying to be sneaky.
That's another thing.
And that's the thing. Well, you know what the thing with youth is, man? Youth will give you a false sense of your own mortality. It will give you a false sense, because when you're young, you think, no, nothing ain't going to happen to me. Mom's tripping, pop's tripping. They don't want to let me do nothing, because I'll tell you, I'm so glad that my son is in college now, man. And I know when they keep him so busy, because he plays football, he's so busy, he don't have no time to do nothing, because I swear, You want to put your kids in a situation where you want to trust them. After the game, they want to go somewhere. They want to go to In-N-Out. They want to go to the pizza place, mm-hmm. and hang out. But we've been around. We've seen the monsters that are out there in the world, so we want to protect them from them. That's why we worked hard and moved them out. You do all the right things to dad, but then you got some guy out there that pretty much don't want to put his hands up to fight somebody, so he go pull out a gun and just recklessly aim into a crowd and take somebody's life, man. It's the parents' worst nightmare.
That's the problem. How can you stop that? And, you know, it's a lot of guys out there in your situation, in my situation, it's a lot of guys out there that put people in situations like this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where an innocent kid is killed. We don't think about, when you do that drive-by, you don't know who or what you're going to hit. We don't think about how many people are affected by the loss of their loved one. You know what I'm saying? Just like you, what you going through. I didn't realize it until 2002. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, damn, just think. You hurt so many people in 5 minutes. Take somebody's life in 5 minutes. And this is what these kids and these youngsters out here today got to see. They got to feel his pain, because I feel it.
I feel it.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think I would have been able to sit down if some knucklehead take my kid and then bragging and boasting on Facebook about it. I don't think I would have been able to do that. I wouldn't have went to the police station. So I commend this brother, because he fought for justice for his daughter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And now them dudes is doing 50 years. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, they would have swept this under the rug.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to do if you're coming from that street lifestyle.
Yeah.
For you to try to, you know, take the route of being, straight up and letting the justice system take the course. Because
right.
I don't know if I could have dealt with a motherfucker just telling me and going through the years and years, and the motherfucker just, somebody would have, from what we come from, that would have been a no-brainer.
Man, the police just told me, you know who did it. We know who did it. Fuck it, handle it yourself. That's what the police told me, man.
So now you got a situation, and this is the dynamic of this. Like when, like what James said, there are so many people impacted when somebody loses their life. Because how many other children do you have?
I have three other children.
Okay, so you have three other kids. So you go out and exact revenge for Keisha. Now you got three other kids that's going to be impacted too. They've already lost their sister. Now their father is gone.
Yeah.
He locked up. He in a penitentiary.
See, I got a strong wife because she the one stopped it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, no, you got to come home. Like, you got to come home to me.
Yeah. And what you need, a good woman going to do that for you, especially if she know the pain because it's her kid, it's her daughter too, but she know as the man, you know, the father with the other kids and the support and the stability they need, you can't afford to go down that road, you know what I'm saying? Because then what's going to happen to the family unit? We destroyed as another black family unit, you feel what I'm saying?
Right. Well, not only that, I mean, you got to give them the story about your pops. You gotta tell them it affected everybody.
After I buried, like when I seen my daughter there, I didn't even cry that night at all. I'm just standing there staring at her. I just want revenge. So it was 150 kids, man, that seen my daughter get killed. 150. So instead of they going down there to the police station, because you know they want to question everybody. Police brought me down there. They had a board with all their names, but the parents telling them, don't say nothing.
Parents telling the kids not to say nothing.
Don't say nothing at all. Don't say nothing. Just leave it alone. Don't say nothing.
And see, that's a part of this bullshit culture that we got.
Don't snitch or don't get involved.
Don't say nothing. And I know it's going to be some assholes in the audience right now, y'all not keeping the G. Fuck all y'all. Because I'm going to tell you, some of these motherfuckers need to be locked the fuck up.
Oh, no. I mean, innocent is one thing. I mean, like I said, when you're in that lifestyle, then, you know, you take what it comes with. But when you're innocent,
gang, you know what I'm saying? Doing nothing like that.
You know, we make mistakes as kids. We all did. You know, we're all naive to what happens in the streets. You get me? We see it, and it's really glorified to an aspect. It's fun to be in the streets. But a lot of kids are naive to what really happens and shit. So that route you can't take. So you can't just sit there and try to take the street route with some shit that affected on an innocent. You know what I'm saying? It's a young female, young woman who had nothing to do with that lifestyle. Yeah. So for motherfuckers to not want to get involved, because like you said, we've been born to that culture in the streets of, especially us as niggas, we've been born to that culture of you don't tell on shit. Or you try to handle it yourself, but then that's not justice for the daughter and then the family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. So what we gonna do, we gonna take a quick break right now, and we gonna come back and go into the details about how this impacted your father. We'll be back in a minute. We here with Calvin Hawkins, y'all. We'll be right back.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential. The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Steel. James. 8. Y'all niggas better give me my $5. I put that on the set. I need to go get me some Warner Mirror. My motherfucking feet fucking with me. Gangsta Chronicles, my ass. Pay Granny her money. This Gangsta Granny. Y'all know me. Where you at?
We back with Calvin Hawkins. So, Calvin, this impacted your father.
Yeah.
Just as rough as it impacted you, can you take us through that?
Yeah, after the funeral, like, because at a funeral, I didn't even cry. Like, it was huge. Their funeral was big. It was like everything out the door. People was out the door. So the pastor, he asked for everybody to come up and say their piece. I was like, ain't nobody talking in here today but me. And I got up there and I talked and everything. And then, like, at one point, it's like I went blind or something. Like, when I was talking to everybody, then when I stopped talking, it's like I seen everybody jump up, clap their hands, like. But I don't know, I guess it was like an out-of-body experience or something. Like, everybody was clapping. And then, like, a lot of old school, they was like, I don't know how you just did that. You strong as hell. Because I couldn't do that if I see my baby laying in the casket. And they talking about this a celebration. I told them, ain't no celebration, because she wasn't sick and she wasn't suffering. So what I need to celebrate for?
Mm-hmm.
That was my only daughter. Like,
and so your father is going, the whole family is going through it, but your father in particular.
Hey, man, it killed my dad. Like, that was I never seen my dad cry. And, like, one day he came to my shop. He was like, they done killed my baby. I don't want to deal with this no more. I'm tired of this. Like, man, what is you talking about? So he had pulled off. I'm trying to take him out the truck. He pulled off. So the next week, he come to the shop. I'll never forget this, bro. He come to the shop. It was a Monday. He was going on and on about Keisha. And I'm like, hey, man, listen, I'm not trying to hear what you talking about. You don't want to be here. I just lost Keisha. I need you, too. So he's like, everything I got for you, you drive on. I'm like, what the hell is this dude talking about? Like, so he's like, everything is in the back of the car for you. I say, hey, I'm not trying to hear this shit, period. I need you. So I go outside, and my cousin stayed in the shop with him. And he's like, hey, I think you listen to your dad. When I came back in, I said, he'll be all right. He just upset. Tuesday come, he come back to the shop. He normal, acting a fool. And Wednesday come, he asked for my wife. He comes back to the shop. He's like, where your wife at? He said, where Janice? I said, she ain't here, Dad. She'll be back in a couple hours. She's like, okay. So he came back and he told her and told us, when you have problems, he said, get you a big nip, a drink, go to the beach and just let it all out and just relieve yourself. I said, hey, man, ain't nobody trying to hear that today, Pop. And he turned around and said, I love y'all. Thursday come, My little brother seen him. I said, hey, bro, you seen dad? He was like, yeah, he just passed. You said he gonna come back. Friday come, my uncle and everybody looking for him. I'm like, man, he probably at home sleep. So my uncle called me again, said your dad ain't show up. All right, he all right. So I'm doing paperwork. Then I seen one of his girlfriends coming to the shop because he had about six of them. So she's like, your dad was supposed to meet me at 10:30. I said, what are you talking about? Said for breakfast, but he ain't show up. And both of the cars outside. Like when my dad was home, one of the cars would be outside, one would be in the garage, and the screen door would be locked. So I said, let me go over here. I went over there to the house. Both of the cars was outside. Now, I didn't open up one of his trucks because I got the keys. I seen a big thing of Crown Royal in there, and I closed the door, and sand fell down off his car. So he's been to the beach.
Yeah, he's at the beach.
So I said, what the hell going on? So I went to the screen door just to see if it's locked, but the screen door open. So I go next door, and I was like, Miss Bernard, when the last time you seen them cars move? She was like, 2 days ago. When I looked at her, she's like, kicking the door. I kicked the door in, and I was like, dude, you better be breathing. And he was stiff as hell, man.
So in the span of this time, you still dealing with your daughter, grieving your daughter and the injustice. Now your father is gone. Y'all had a really good relationship.
Oh, we was cool as hell every day. Every day he came to the shop and he tormented my customers, my boys there. He didn't care who it was. And that killed him.
And that killed him. So where is your mind at during this time?
I was screaming, man. Like I didn't cry when I see my daughter.
This is all right, man. Go and let it out, dog.
But that killed me.
Man,
you want to say that family members, you don't have connection, you know, grandparents really. You know what I'm saying? They had a connection with your kids. You know, James, you know, you got the grandson right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? You know how that connection is. That'd be just like it's your own child. You feel me?
Right.
Sometimes. And then with them being older, a little bit older, seeing a lot of stuff, having to go through a lot of stuff through their lifetime, a lot of shit they can't take. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they can't.
After going through a gang of shit over your lifetime, I'm sure Pops was in his maybe 50s, 60s, whatever. Yeah. And probably being born back from them days, man, he just seen a gang of shit. You get tired and fed up with the same bullshit you see every year after year after year, especially when it's our young black, you know what I'm saying? You lose a family member, and then it's just like it's like us with gangbanging and shit. Shit don't stop. You see drive-bys and killings and killings and drive-bys, and at some point you be like, man, when is this shit gonna end? You right. Feel me?
Mm-hmm. Well, the pain that you see right here on this show, everybody should think about it before they get a gun and then go shooting at somebody just because and hit a kid or hit that person. This is the pain that you give to every family out there. And it's a cold piece. I never thought about it like this. I never saw it.
Being on the other side of the fence and shit.
Being on the other side of the fence. I never thought about that. At that time, I didn't give a fuck who was in pain or who hurt. But this is the first time, really, that I've like felt another brother pain like that. You know, not only you lose your daughter, but then the pain that Pops couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And Pops felt like just tired of this shit. And then here he is. You know, he gave you all the signs. He gave you all the signs.
I just ain't want to listen.
Because you wasn't ready to deal with the fact that he couldn't take that. But, like, come on, man. We's trying to deal with this situation. Like that's just unfathomable. I can't even see that. So please don't bring that. You going to block all that shit out.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? Especially if you happen to deal with the motherfucking pain of the daughter. Right. Like, man, come on. You can't. That's why you still, man, I don't want to hear that shit. Well, don't come around here talking that shit right now. Words.
And there's two sides to it. Not only do you have the victim's family that's impacted, right? And you know, as bad as I want to say, fuck that other kid that did the shooting, he got a mama, He got a daddy. He got other people. He's dead.
She was taking them to do robberies and shit, bro.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
And see, she needs to go to jail too.
It's the way motherfuckers are raised and brought up, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, you know, us as parents, we can't help, you know what I'm saying? Because I know what I did or what I didn't try to do or what I taught my son. But if he decide to go out there and do some dumb shit, I'm not going to be responsible as a father who tried to raise my son in the right way. But it's shit. If I want my son to start claiming the hood and I'm giving him a pack to sell and giving him his first strap, then I'm contributing to my man is feeling.
You get me? And that's what I'm saying. His mama should be in jail too because she pretty much raised a monster.
I don't know about that. Mama going to jail for the actions of what her son doing. I think mama should feel like she's more responsible for his actions.
Let me tell you how disrespectful they is, man. After she killed, they done killed my daughter. They coming up to the shop trying to get work done.
On the car?
Hell yeah, thinking it's a game. See him at the club, she trying to hug on me and shit, like, think it's funny, man.
Man, I would have took the brakes off that motherfucker. I said, bring that motherfucker in here. She'd have been riding, the brakes would have went out in that motherfucker.
Yeah, that's because a motherfucker trying to dissociate herself from the motherfucking, from what the product of what her raising the kid has been. Like he said, she taking him on robberies. Probably taking him to sell this, you know what I'm saying? She contributing to his motherfucking bullshit.
Right.
That's why my man is so upset at them, because it's be a difference if you was a sincere ass motherfucking female who, I don't know where he went wrong, I tried to raise him right, was in church, I tried to do this, but nigga, I'm taking him around the corner to do dirt. Don't be hugging on me, motherfucker, when you contributing to your motherfucking son's downfall. And because you couldn't take a hold of that shit, I'm suffering. So no, I don't need no hugs and shit. None of that shit.
And the thing about death is that it's forever. It's not, you know what I'm saying? That's an infinite thing. So it's not like you ever get over it.
No, I got a homie right now who dealing with the death of his daughter. Young girl out there in Vegas, you know, doing her thing. You know, young females, you know what I'm saying? She died from an overdose. Was in a motherfucking room by herself for 3 days until somebody found her. So even though it's a different predicament, you know what I'm saying, it's hurtful to see your kids, you know, taken away from you before you get to see them live their fucking life and do what they supposed to do. You get me? It's just fucked up.
A child ain't supposed to bury your child. Your child supposed to
Especially not at 17 years old. Well, you know what I'm saying?
In California, that's what we do every day.
Exactly.
We burying our kids. And that's why I thought this story would be good for our show, because this is what we're trying to preach to the kids out there, the youngsters, the gangsters out there today. Mm-hmm. And if they just heard a little of this man's story right here, maybe we wouldn't pick up that pistol. Because if I'd have heard a story like that back then, maybe I wouldn't have. Maybe I'd have kept doing what I'm doing. But we are the problem and the solution to this whole situation.
Exactly.
Let's stop killing each other. And we ain't got to worry about this shit no more. You know what I'm saying? But back then, when you grab that pistol and you get in that motherfucking car and you going out to do a drive-by, 9 times out of 10, I never thought that I can kill a kid opposed to the people that you aiming at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the majority of the time is kids or somebody innocent that ain't never did shit that get hit.
Is that all
because
the time?
Because niggas don't pay attention till they get down.
All the
shit
time.
Happens.
And coming from here, like you said, coming from here in L.A., you can be on either side of the fence.
Yeah.
You can have a kid that get killed by a motherfucker, or you can have a kid that pull the trigger, because that's the lifestyle we have. And with the kids follow the pathway now right now with a lot of the kids. So you gotta be able to grab hold to them. And like you said, you don't want to restrict them and have them, like you said, have them like prisoners in their own home. But fuck it, sometimes you got to, and you just got to put that foot down. Right. And then you don't want to seem like the bad dad, or, you know, you can't go nowhere. You can't go to the game with your friends. You can't go to the little party or whatever. But I'll be a motherfucking lie if I tell you that every time my kid walked out the door saying he finna go somewhere, I'm like, every fucking 30 minutes, like, nigga, where you at? Where you at? To where now, his mom's got a tracker on his phone. Like, motherfucker, don't tell me, like, I need to know where you at every single minute of the day, because I can't save you from a lot of bullshit that's going on out there.
See, it takes for something to happen to a kid sometimes, and unfortunately, what these kids need to know, you don't always get a chance to learn a lesson to come back. Right. I'm going to tell you an example. This is when I first got my son a car. This is when he was going to high school, right? So he get a car and he tells me it's 11 o'clock on a Friday. You know how it is, game night. He says, well, Dad, I'm going to head over to the stadium. I say, okay, cool. You kind of early, right? He said, well, I want to get some film work in or whatever like that. So I'm kind of in my mind, I call kind of like, I'm like, whatever, go ahead and go. Next thing you know, my oldest son come downstairs because he called his brother because he knew he called me, You know. He called his brother. He said, man, Chris been in an accident. I'm like, fuck, how you guys? So I'm like, where is he at, over on Bellflower Boulevard or whatever? Is he on Imperial or whatever? Because you know, right at school, right around the corner. Right around the corner. So he's in Los Alamitos, some motherfucking where, going to go pick up one of his other friends to bring him to the thing. And I'm like, so I'm telling myself, I just want to see if he okay first. If he okay and ain't nobody dead, I can deal with everything else, right? I get over there, the car tore up. Whole side of it tore up. It wasn't his fault. Lady hit him. She texting on the phone or whatever to him. So the first thing I wanted to do was slap the shit out of him, but I didn't. I maintained my composure. And when he got in the car with me quiet, I said, you know, it's a number of things that could have happened today. We could be coming to view your body. You could be going to, your friend could be dead. All because you didn't do what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
All because you didn't do the right thing. And I think by that happening to him, then it did something to him. He got a lot better after that, you know, as far as just doing what he was supposed to do. But we don't always get the opportunity to come back. So for y'all youngins out there that's listening, when, you know, when moms or pops tell you to stay at home, that's what you need to do.
And then to the parents, when is too strict? Strict enough, you get me? Like, we all want to be cool. Like, not say cool with the children, but we want to have that trust with the kids that we can trust that they're doing what they say. Now, like I said, we've all been down that path. You know, we done told moms I'm finna do something that I know damn well I ain't finna do. I know I'm finna tell her I'm finna go over here, but knowing damn well I'm finna go to the neighborhood and sell some rocks. You feel me?
Exactly.
I mean, so, but I understood all that. Hell no, motherfucker, you can't go. And hell no, you ain't getting in the car with them. And I used to be pissed the fuck off, like embarrassed to the point. Like, you got the homies pulling up ready to pick me up and you coming all outside on the porch yelling and screaming. You ain't getting in the car with them motherfuckers and shit. Is you crazy? Get your motherfucking ass in the house.
See, that's a parent that cared, though.
You them lessons.
Yeah, and I bet you think moms every fucking chance you get.
Goddamn right. You get me? Because there's a lot of them niggas I see right now that's just getting home from doing 25 years. Mm-hmm. You get me?
Yeah, it would have never been no MCA that had you hopped in the wrong car.
Because I wanted to be one of them wrong niggas, though. Even though the home was cool, disciplined, whatever. But it's get to the point when you hit that 15, 16, 17 to where you just feel like you can't do no fucking wrong. And everything as a parent, I mean, you don't know shit, man. Okay, so if I gotta go, yeah, I'm going over to Pop Pops, knowing I'm finna go to the neighborhood, man. I'm looking at it like it's gonna be just another day that I've already done did this shit 5 or 6 times.
And I knew she was lying, though. I knew it.
You always, they know. Just like with my son. Mm-hmm. He tell me some shit, I'd look dead at his motherfucking ass and be like, yeah, all right.
Because they us.
Yeah, all right.
They us. You could tell when he get to doing this, fixing his hands.
But that's because I want to give him that little bit of trust. Even though I already know he lying, I want to see if you're going to be able to make it out of that motherfucking bullshit without something happening.
Right.
Because you already know you're telling me some bullshit. So I'm going to give you that because I could just break you down right now. You finna walk out with the homies, y'all all looking. Nah, nigga, you can't go. But I'm finna see if you're going to take that line, if you can make it back from that without no bullshit. Because let's face it, you already got a 50% chance of getting in some shit. Because you're telling me something that you ain't supposed to be doing.
Right.
One and done. And she never got the opportunity.
One and done. Mine was a one and done. It was crazy because I left Saturday to get my load to come out here. My son, the one that got that was standing next to her, birthday was Friday. He asked me to come pick him up from work because his little girlfriend had his car. Mm-hmm. So I put him in my truck and we riding up, taking him home. He was like, so what's the problem, man? He was like, my birthday Friday
and my sister go. Oh, man. Man, you know, and we have to talk about an element.
And that probably fucked with him because he was there with her.
And still fucking with him. Because when stained. I got to him exactly. that night, he had blood on him. I said, what is that? He's like, this Keisha's.
Because they know they ain't supposed to be out there. And now he feels it's going to fuck with him because he's standing there with him, with her, and knowing that they done told Pops. Now he got to face you. Because he knowing we done told you some shit that we ain't supposed to be over there. Now, I got to feel responsible because my sister done got killed. I'm next to her. Now, how am I going to explain that to Pops when I know goddamn that's well a, we supposed to be there? Hey,
that's a lot to put on a 13-year-old.
Yeah, he's 13.
A 13-year-old little boy seeing his sister and trying to help his sister. Now, he's covered in her blood. And, man, he got to be traumatized.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he messed up.
He got to be... Man,
that's my oldest son, he just done—he just moved out right then. I'm gone.
He is wow. So it's a lot for those guys to deal with and process because he probably going through a great deal of survivor's remorse, thinking why not me instead of my sister, you know. And you know, going to that man, the mental anguish of this. I know it's gonna be a thing that you're gonna be dealing with as long as you walk on this planet. But how do you maintain your sanity and normalcy through all of this mess, man, through the pain?
Shit. I started this foundation for her, her clothing line.
Which we're wearing today right here.
Yeah. My clothing line for I'm trying to get her clothing line. Once I learn how to work this 5013C board, shit, I'm going to be hell. Because, like, we from Indiana and Texas, but she was supposed to be on her way out here to California, I don't know where, but to go to college, be a relationship counselor, and live on the beach. That's what she wanted to do. So what I'm trying to do is get her foundation, of course. I was trying to move back home to Texas, but my mom was like, you got to go back to Indiana, because that's where it happened at. So I want her foundation in Indiana, Texas, and out here to get a hold of these little kids. You got to catch them when they're young. So my son's grown right now, and they still saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. To put that back out in the community and help these kids, you know, like, they ain't got nothing for these kids to do. Like, my barber, he a baseball fanatic. I asked him before I came out here, once I get this stuff going on, bro, hey, I want you to run a baseball thing. He said, you trying to start that under Keisha's name? I was like, yeah. He said, give me the balls and the bats. Let's go. Give me the balls and the bats. Let's go. Mm. Then I got another partner of mine. He like a strength coach for the kids. He put helping kids get to D1 playing football. Mm. So I told him I want him to bring it in. I got another friend. He box. Bring that back. You know what I'm saying? Up there. And then had that stuff transferred from Indiana here and then out there. And then like on their... the Team Monster stuff, I changed my store to her name also. So it's Monster Car Audio, where I do the sounds and stuff. Mm. And like every year we have an annual Keisha show, and that car show sometimes lasts from 3 p.m. to like 3 a.m, man.
Well, you know, you got a friend
y'all
of us.
Y'all should come out there this year.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. You got a friend of us, man. We want to be a participant in everything that you got going on. Anything right. that you need us to exactly. do, bro, we want to be there. We want to be involved. And we're going to talk about that paperwork okay. stuff after this. We'll help get that together. You know, and this is an important episode right here, man, because our youth is everything, man. Without the kids, we don't have no future.
Definitely.
And if we keep losing our young black, not just our young black males, our young black females, you know, either the death or the penitentiary, we not gonna have a future. We not gonna have a future. So it's very important to get it out there, man, so we can change the narrative of things. I wanna go back to the time that you were dealing with the police. I don't even wanna call them police. The clowns that was up there, you know, the people that pretty much made up in their mind that they wouldn't go exact justice.
Right.
Man.
How long was that process? How long did you have to do the march? And how long did you have to act? Did they ever threaten to arrest you or anything?
Threaten to arrest me, man. They broke me. They, like, they attitude was, he young, he black, he got this shot where it's successful. So they just trying to plant dope on me.
Plant dope and stuff on you?
Oh, man, come on. Like, one of the police, rest in peace, Rob Grant, they didn't know me and him went to school together. So one day I had a hell of a day as the police study picking with me, picking with me, picking with me. So he pulled up to the shop. I'm like, Rob, I ain't do nothing. He said, Frost, act like me and you argue. I said, what are you talking about? He said, do what I tell you. So he's standing on one side of the car. I'm standing on the other. He pointing, and I'm pointing at him. He said, listen, you been seeing a black truck running around here? I said, yeah, all day. He said, listen, that's the chief of police and the mayor. They finna plant dope on you. I said, what the hell are you talking about? He said, let me go and break it down to you. Keisha murder was solved like 45 minutes after it happened. Watch who you bringing in the shop, because they finna plant dope on you. And they said, fuck your daughter. They is not finna help you. And you see it.
Are these some white people?
Yeah.
See, you got to understand, too, me being from the Midwest, Indiana is one of the most prejudiced states in the Union.
Yeah.
Racist. Like, I'm talking about really racist. Yeah, I know
people from Terre
Haute. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about...
That's how you said shit. I know my people's in Terre Haute, so it ain't no...
Like, this is a kid's...
Yeah, it's people that's racist. Like, that's a different type of racism. It's like, I'm going to tell you, and I know it's going to be some people in the audience, so I wouldn't be going for that. I'm going to tell you, they got white boys down there that will fight the fuck out your ass. They got guns. They got everything. And they will catch your ass going down one of them country-ass back roads at night and knock you off and kill your ass and have you hanging from a tree.
They had it so bad, man, where one day my auntie come. She left church and pulled up. She's like, I need to talk to you. Philip, that's my little brother. And Janice, that's my wife. She's like, word is, you pulling these cars in, acting like you hooking them up, you keeping them in the bay for 3-4 hours, loading them up full of dope, and driving off. I said, Mama, come on. Are you serious? She was like, you finna go to prison.
Well, you know what you represented for them, bro? You represented a problem, because you wouldn't just go sit back, because for every brother like you to fight, you got 10 other brothers that just sit back and accept the bullshit. They viewed you as a threat, so they wanted to get you out the way.
Yeah, they was trying to get me out the way. So one day, my wife just stopped coming to the shop, period. Like, she was like, I don't know what's going on, babe, but I know you're not selling no drugs, no none of that stuff, but why, if I'm working for it, why I can't have nice things? Why I can't buy my family nice things? So one day, I had a 1965 Ford Galaxy and pulled it out the garage. Police pulled up on me, saying, look at you. You riding clean and all that stuff. We want to ride clean, too. That's why we're not going to help you with your daughter.
Wow.
The police said that. Like,
damn, would they want some motherfucking money or something?
Man, I don't know. They wasn't finna extort me. They ain't work for the shit I did. Like,
well, the guy that was talking to you at first, or who was that told you to watch who you let in your shop?
Police Rob Grant.
Okay, so he basically telling you, people that's your friend ain't your friends.
Yeah.
And whoever in here is working with these motherfuckers to set you up.
But your gang, though, the person that I had sublease, he wanted to sublease from me. He had gotten to a fight with one of his girls. And so they got into a fight. So we go to court, and I'm thinking he in there finna, we gonna bond him out, because it's a fight, you know? So while we in there, the judge was like, he said, I'm in here. The judge told him it's gonna be a $100,000 bond. I said, for a fight? Like, that ain't number 605 to bond out. So he said, I'm in here for a fight. He said, no, on such and such a date, you sold 168 grams of cocaine. I said, oh, I'm through. This whole time, he was good, because I didn't even notice what he was doing, bro. And it went up.
Wow.
Said, on such and such a date, you sold 186 grams. I was like, what?
So they figure they can't shut you up about your daughter. You was causing too much attention for them. So you figured they had to set you up to get you out the way, out the picture?
And they was doing something. And then, like, I know this dude, they say he's a CI, but I don't know if he's a CI. But then he come to me, he's like, hey, Frost, y'all need to watch it, bro, because they got a picture. Said they got a chart of you downstairs in the... I said, downstairs in the police station. So I'm like, yeah, you a CI for real, but whatever you talking about. He said, you is the head, and they got it branched off, dude. And, like, a chart of y'all. And he said, and they got pictures like a month ago, y'all. Down here, down there at that police station. So I called my wife down there. I said, hey, babe, could you please come down here and talk to me? And she was like, I'm not coming to that shop. I said, please get up and come down here and just sit with me. So we all outside. And we sitting outside, but I'm on 11th Street. But on 10th Street, the whole time, I'm like, I'm seeing a helicopter just hovering. Okay, whatever. So I go in the back of my shop and I get up on the weight bench and look out the window and they had like 10 police back there.
They coming in to get that ass.
Like Ray.
Then next thing I know, I seen a helicopter just flying over the shop. It's flying so low. My wife came outside and looked up. She said, I don't know what the hell going on down here. But I said, this is crazy.
So you wasn't no dope dealer?
At all. I ain't sold a gram of nothing.
Marijuana?
Nothing.
Pussy?
Don't.
You were selling something.
I was selling music and rims.
Yeah.
Right.
That was just that.
And some pimple.
That was the attention you was bringing because the lack of the police doing their jobs. Because they wanted to just sweep it under the rug as just another black fucking killing of gang bullshit or just nigga on nigga killing. So because of the attention you was bringing it, because your daughter was an innocent and she was a young child who was victim, you know, of some bullshit.
And the people that was buying sounds. But like I told the police, do Walmart ask them where their money come from when they come in there and spend their money? I'm doing a service too. So why would I need to do that?
Because of the clientele you kept. Of course, the local drug dealer gonna go to the homie shop to get his shit. The local banger or whatever. But shit, just like on the shit of my shit, you can't tell me I'm working. I'm not going to question a motherfucker about where his dollar came from.
At all.
I don't give a fuck.
I'm trying to take care of my family.
If a nigga got $500 to pay for this speaker box and these two speakers and this radio, it's going in his car.
And the thing is, when you're dealing with CIs and stuff like that, people don't know. A lot of these CIs getting some good money, man. They getting some good bread. So,
and a lot of them will fuck you over for that bread, too. Lie like a motherfucker.
Well, they have to be lying like a motherfucker for them to come into your shop and do all of this.
I've never sold. I ain't sell nothing. But I thank my little brother, though, because one day we up in there, and they waited till I had a whole lobby full of customers. Me and my wife, we were sitting in the back. Feds walked in the door and went just like this, flashed his badge, and said, go to the back. Go to the back? Like, what is you talking about? Like, to go to the back. We go to the back. He's like, well, we need this. I said, whatever y'all looking for, I don't have. I don't know what you're talking about. They try to play the good cop, bad cop stuff. You know how they do that. So then the other one say, you know what? I'm sick of your shit, dude. Fuck this. We know about your daughter getting killed. Then he got my attention. You know about your daughter getting killed. And we know about your other sons. And your wife out there, we got a conspiracy charge on you, and we finna give you 16 years. I'm supposed to be gone to 2028, 29. I said, what am I conspiring?
So they
I ain't selling nothing.
So they could give you 16 years, but the motherfucker that killed your daughter is out there gallivanting around like it ain't shit.
Yeah. Right.
They talk about giving him some bullshit.
But shit, they walked in there thought they was finna punk him. Because if the feds got something on you, they taking your ass to jail, especially once they expose themselves. And they're going to come get you. They ain't going to say, we got you on conspiracy, but we're going to come get you later. That don't happen like that. So they was trying to punk him and trying to get something from him. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe he got scared, shut the shop down, did whatever the case might be. Whatever somebody else wanted, just like what's the name we did the interview with, how his marijuana spots were this and that, and the other ones couldn't go bam.
Exactly.
Too much competition. Y'all get rid of Woot the Woot, I'm going to keep lacing y'all with a little paper. That's how it fucking work out here. And that's how they be doing the dumb shit.
Yeah.
So with all the shit that he's doing and rapping and raving about his daughter, they trying to do that whole kill two birds with one stone thing.
Yeah, and on that note, man, we going to take another break, y'all. Gangsta Chronicles, we'll be right back.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Steel, James, 8. Y'all niggas better give me my $5. I put that on the set. I need to go get me some Warnemera. My motherfucking feet fucking with me. Gangsta Chronicles my ass. Pay Granny her money. This Gangsta Granny. Y'all know me. Where you at?
And we back. So you have this clothing line that you've started, and it's a continuation of your daughter's original vision. Am I correct?
No, I just did it just okay. To keep her out there.
Okay, perfect. And we have some of the clothing line here today, and it's at teammonster.com?
Teammonsterwear.com, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll make sure we got the link in the description, everybody. We got some hats there, and he blessed us right there. You know, me and James right. Got the hoodies all on the right time. Now. So you guys make sure y'all go and support my man. And I wanted to talk to you about something. We've been lately talking about just our health is our health. You know, it's a lot of stuff going on today. You know, you got this thing with the COVID, man, where everybody is shutting doors indoors. A lot of people have lost their jobs, man. And just, you know, it's kind of hard because it's almost like, you know, we've stuck inside for the longest. And then you got situations like this, man. How did you deal with all the stress mentally, man? How do you maintain?
Shit, it drove me crazy. My wife had to give me a psychiatrist for a little bit, but I wasn't trying to listen to her because I felt she didn't lose a kid, so she can't tell me nothing.
Yeah, so you didn't think the therapy helped?
No, I was driving her crazy. I drove the psychiatrist crazy. She told my wife to divorce me. She's like, you need to divorce him because he didn't, her exact words was, he didn't jump off the boat and drowned, and I need you to stay in this boat with me. But, you know, my wife, She stood by me. Like in, what was it, episode 93, when you said you can't tell me nothing, Big J? I didn't feel she can tell me nothing, but my wife said maybe because I didn't want it to help.
Yeah, therapy is only effective when you want to go, yeah, go along.
I fought it the whole time. Yeah. Like, but I did go back to her like once I started fighting and stuff. Healthy as I am, man, like in, I think it was a week later, I'm steady going crazy, going off, and my wife had left and went to the store. Mm-hmm. And she come back home, and I'm outside waiting on her with my arm down. She's like, what's wrong with you? I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. She was like, just looked at me. I said, I'm not finna argue with you. Just take me to the hospital. She took me to the hospital. Sure enough, I had a heart attack.
He was having a heart attack. Yeah, yeah. We have to take care of ourselves out there because we've lost so many people to heart attacks, and stress will kill you.
No, it almost did.
You know, stress will take you off the planet. Stress will take you off the planet. And I know you mentioned that you had a friend that actually came in and told you to, like, kind of pull it together because you had gained a bunch of weight and everything like that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. His name's Scant. Like, he had came to the house. He had called me. He was like, Frost. So I was like, what up, bro? He was like, I need a radio and stuff hooked up, some sounds hooked up. I said, all right, come on to the shop. So I come out the house, and he looked at me, and he's like, because I had stayed in the house in my bedroom like I was a prisoner in my own home. I stayed in the house for like 2 years in my bedroom. I wouldn't come out. Only thing I would do was just eat, take a shower, and go back to bed because I didn't want to deal with it no more. And he looked at me, he said, I don't even want no work from you. You was out of line. He said, and if ain't gonna nobody gonna tell you about yourself, I'm gonna tell you about your damn self. He said, bro, you need to get your shit together. I know you miss Keisha, but you look terrible. I had gained, I went from 185, 190 to like 280, almost 300 pounds up in there. And then he seen me like 6 months later, and he's like, that's the Frost I'm talking about. And then I was like, thanks, bro. I said, man, you hurt my feelings, fam. He said, somebody needed to.
Yeah, no, actually, he was being a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just to have that one friend come and tell you that, what's his name?
Scant.
Scant, you're a good man.
Yeah, shout out to Scant out there. You're a real friend because a friend will tell you when you're out of pocket.
Right.
A real friend is going to tell you when you're out of pocket. And so he helped pretty much get you back up on your feet and everything, get you back to think. It's pretty much, it sounded like you had lost your will to live.
Yeah, I didn't care. I got up and took all the pictures off the wall of Keisha and my dad. I didn't want to see it no more. Like, they not going to help me. So I just gave up.
Man, we
till I seen those texts on my phone, that's what made me snap off.
Well, man, you know, I wanted to get you on the show ever since James has showed me your story and everything. And I said, man, it's important that we get this brother on here because you'd be surprised, man, on how many. Is somebody out there right now that's going through the same thing that you went through, that you are going through? What would you have to say to them right now?
I just told them. Well, I got the text from other people when I seen that. I had got texts from Dubai, like Spain, and these people had texted me from, I think it was like New York or something. It's like, we see what you're doing. Could you help us? I said, help y'all do what? They was like, fight for, I think it was his sister or something. He was going through the same thing. I said, hey, listen, what y'all have to do is don't let the police scare y'all. I said, once you take one step forward towards them, if they try to push you back one, you go two more steps forward. Don't tell and don't take the word no. I told him I'm allergic to the word no.
That's how you.
Well, a lot of people don't possess that power to fight for what they believe is right. A lot of us just pretty much give up and really think that there's no help. You know, and people reaching out to you because they saw it in you. Everybody don't possess that. And all the people, and maybe that's what your daughter wants you to do, you know, help other people. You know what I'm saying? Do them, help them just like you did me. You got justice for me, get justice for them. Help them, guide them in the right way. And I think that's so positive that you're doing that. I truly believe we all got a purpose.
That's why I started that foundation in their name also, besides their clothing line. And the more I talk about this and get it out, I can finish her book. Because right now I'm stuck on the chapters of her birthday, the wake, and the funeral. But by me keep talking and keep talking, I can go and finish those chapters and everything else beside after that. I could write about the depression and the fight and everything. It's just those three chapters that I'm stuck on. Once I finish that, the book will be finished.
Mm-hmm. So this is something I want to ask you because you're a friend of mine now. Are you still, because I know you go deal with this anguish. Like I said, this is a forever thing, man. It's yeah. not something that you ever forget. Are you still making sure and everything that your mental and stuff is in pocket?
Yeah. I have slip-ups, though. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to even lie to you. But if my friend, like some of my friends that's on Team Monster, because I got a cardio club too up under her name, if they don't talk to me for like 3 or 4 days and they know I ain't on that semi truck and they know I'm home, mm-hmm. they gonna tear this phone up, or they coming to the house knocking on the door, come on, get up, because we know what's going on.
Oh yeah, for sure, because it done been times, man, where if I don't hear from James, because I talk to this man every day, he's like, he a member of my family now. You know, if I don't talk to him, you know, day one thing, but if it go 2 days, I'm tearing his line up like, bro, what you doing? You good? Do I need to come out there? Because I know last time he had some stuff going on, and me and one of the homies was on his way out. We was on our way out to where he stayed at to see, you know, if he was good. You know what I mean? So we do have to check on our friends and everything. And this is my message for the people out there. Don't just ignore your friend. If somebody's your friend and you love them, check on them. Make sure they are right. Talk to them, because I'm going to tell you what our most powerful thing is on our as human beings. The most powerful tool in our body is our mouth, right. Our ability to communicate. So we have to communicate with our loved ones, man, and our friends when they're going through stuff, man, because you don't know. You know, the suicide rate amongst Black males is up right now. Our incarceration rates have been, you know, climbing steadily since then. You know, we have a lot of issues going on right now, man. Yeah. You know, life is hard, man. Life is hard. You shouldn't ever have to deal with it alone. Deal with it alone, man. How can people contact you, bro?
Well, you can contact me on my Facebook page at Calvin Hawkins. You'll see me up there. Well, you'll see my daughter and then the banner of her foundation. Mm-hmm. And we just got our foundation email up, and it is, let me double check it because my wife just did it. It's nnmhhfinc@gmail.com. And our foundation, we got our foundation page up. My wife just wanted me to look over it, and then I'm going to launch it.
Okay.
On Facebook, and it's Nakisha Nicole Monster Hodges Hawkins Foundation. And it's the banner, and they have me and her up there. Her face, and then my wife and my daughter. It's just all on the same banner.
Yeah, man. Please let us, man, please go out and support this brother. Hit him up if you have any questions. Don't hit him with the bullshit, because we will come and holler at your ass. But
appreciate it.
You know, one thing I wanted to get out there, man, it's very important that our young people, not to come up here sound like an old preaching ass man, because I'm far from it. It's very important that you kids listen to your parents when they tell y'all something. Because sometimes as parents, we worry about everything. I'm always worried about my kids. I know you always worried about yours, James, you know, but we can't be with y'all 24/7. So when we do tell y'all something, take notes to it, man, because you don't get a chance all the time to learn. That mistake doesn't get the opportunity to progress to a lesson for everybody.
Right. I'm going to say this, and I think it's real important. And I can say this because I lived that life. I lived a life behind a gun, and I can honestly say I never thought about taking a kid's life when I went out there and did my thing. And thank God I don't live that life no more. But the cats that's out there with the pistols and doing their thing, think about who you might hit opposed to who you want to hit when you're shooting that pistol. And this is the effect you get all the time, this man right here, you know what I'm saying? And nobody want to cause nobody that much pain and grief, man. And it's not worth it at the end of the day. So I say to every motherfucker that lived the life I lived, sit down, put the pistol up, get out there and do it like we used to do it. Nigga, knuckle up and be a man about it. That's what I say. And I can honestly say I apologize because you have stupid people out there. And I include myself with it because we do things thinking that we're doing the right shit. when we gangbanging and we hurt innocent people. And it's a whole lot of cats out there like myself. I'm far from a hypocrite. I can't down now cat that pick up a pistol and hit a block because that's the life I used to live. But I can't say it, enough is enough. And for you and all the other people, I'm getting teary-eyed saying this, you know, it's that shit is our fault. It ain't mama fault. It ain't daddy fault. It ain't because the kids didn't listen. This is the consequences of not listening. It's stupid motherfuckers that think stupid.
They can't do it, man. Let's take care of each other, man. This is a very emotional episode. And I'm jumping into something right now. Just to all our fans out there, thank you. We coming up on our 100th episode, and we're going to have a celebration. This is for you guys. We're not charging no money for it. We want y'all to come out and hang out with us. We will have Mac 10 in the house, Glasses Malone, Yuck Mouth, and some other surprises. I don't want to say too many people's names because you know how it is when people don't show up to stuff, but it's going to be a big, big event. That's going to be Sunday, March 21st at 3 o'clock. It's going to be at a secret location. All we asking is that you hit us up in RSVP by March 10th. info@digitalsoapboxmedia.com. That's info@digitalsoapboxmedia.com. We ask the masks are mandatory, so you can't come up here without no mask on or no shit like that. We're trying to keep each other safe, man. And this we will have a good time, man. Hopefully Calvin be back out here
I'll
with us, man.
I get another load to come out here and kick with y'all. Y'all family now.
For sure, man. Yes, indeed, man. And
well, I'm gonna have masks for sale. I'm gonna go get that 30 for 99 cent. I'm charging $5 a mask.
Yeah, so if y'all don't want to pay James that $5 a mask, no, fuck it, make it 10. That way, make sure that they wear it.
Bring your own shit.
Yeah, bring your own shit, man. And you know what? This is the most emotional episode we've done. James shed tears. I'm shed tears, man. And eight don't shed tears up here. Our children are our most valuable resource, so let's take care of them. And to those guys out there with the gun, if you go do what you do, be up close and personal with it. Make it to where you can't hit nobody else. You know, actually put that motherfucker down and go fight. Go fight. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, you know, and I see it, man, you know, the Goody Mob had a saying when somebody asked them what their name meant, and it said, the good die young, mostly over bullshit. And that's exactly what it is,
that's
man.
That's the truth.
Right. And we go get up out of here. We'll holler at y'all next week.
Let me say this. This update on Reggie. Reggie is up and talking, and he's getting better. So everybody out there that's worried about Reg is better. We already know he's getting better because he's talking shit. So that's a good thing, man. I'm glad he's doing better. And that COVID shit ain't no bullshit. Some real shit.
Yeah, it is. And prayers and everything like that work. Keep praying for the brother because, you know, he's still got to, you know, he's doing better. He's up and talking right now, but keep him still in your prayers and everything because he got to, he's getting better.
I can't wait to talk shit to that nigga.
He's getting better. Getting better. Well, we out here for real this time. We holler at y'all next week.
100.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find that purple mic on the front screen of your phone, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and a rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles are Norm Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MC8 Taylor. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt. The show's audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. Any questions or comments, hit us up. TheGangstaChroniclesPodcast@gmail.com. Peace. Be safe out there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk.
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.